If you want to like,
what's up, Noel Nation? We are coming live to you from outside Doak Campbell Stadium. Well, we're actually outside of lot 19 by now, to talk about this Florida State Alabama game. 31-17, Florida State gets the win. Man, I mean, just what a game from Florida State, right? I mean, really, you know, when you think about it, Michael, it was like, it was just from start to finish.
Yeah,
Florida State came to play. You know, of course, it was fun to storm the field and have our reaction and all that stuff. But, you know, now once you really go back and you talk about the game, you know, Florida State, man, they played really well for four quarters, right? They took it to Alabama. Yep. And we talked about this, right? We talked about where you had to come out and you had to punch Alabama in the mouth. And by golly, Michael, they squared up and punched Alabama straight in the mouth. And, man, credit to this team, credit to the offseason that they put together. You know, can't be mad at having a camp under wraps now because they did their thing.
They did it.
And, you know, man, I just want to say, like, congratulations to Mike Norvell.
Yep.
You know, really one of the biggest, like, got to be the biggest win of his career. You know, and to the doubters and the haters, like, man, it just way to shake them off and way to get the team ready and everything that they did. And kudos to Mike Norvell for having the you-know-whats to go for it on that fourth and one, you know, deep in your own territory, because that was really the game on the line. So, man, just, I mean, you put up over 200 rushing yards, you held Alabama to 17 points, and realistically, had you not a muffed the punt, it was probably headed towards a blowout. So, man, just really, really can't say enough about this team. And, you know, I'll kick it to you on this, but, like, the good thing is this sets you up for the rest of the season massively with the momentum that you got. And now you have 3 weeks.
Yep.
You have 3 weeks that you can continue to rest up, heal up from any injuries. We saw a couple guys go down there. You know, just iron out some of the small details. But we were talking about it before, man. This is like a folded sheet, buddy. You ain't got much ironing to do, right? So I'll let you give some thoughts on it, man. But this was just a heck of a performance by Florida State.
Yeah, Jesse, you're so right, man. I mean, what a performance. I mean, we walked into this game believing that Florida State had a puncher's chance. We said, you know, Florida State bowed up, if they were tough, if they were physical, you know, then if they could get this game into the fourth quarter, they give themselves a chance. Well, Jesse, they got this game in the first half.
Yeah.
It was 17-7 going in the half. And honestly, you know, that 15-play, 75-yard drive that Bama put together was a thing of beauty by Bama. Give props to them.
Yep.
They found the weaknesses in the defense, especially on third down when they were running that little split zone. They were running the outs and the post routes to get the corners kind of confused. But then credit to Tony White going in and making halftime adjustments. They got more pressure on Ty Simpson.
Yeah.
He was seeing ghosts. I mean, my boy was running around for no reason.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell he was – there were times when he had receivers open downfield and he would just take off running because – the pressure, you know, we talked about, I tweeted this early in the game. I was like, man, you got to find a way to get pressure on him, because when you're playing that zone defense, if you allow him to sit back there, they're getting open. Jeremy Bernard, the guy that we said to watch out for, he was the one who kept getting open.
Leading receiver today too.
But once you started dialing up the pressure, you could see the inexperience of Ty Simpson kind of start the cracks in that,
and
right?
What I love too was that Tony didn't feel the necessity to have to blitz 6, 7, 8. He actually kept sending 5 at most, and they were getting home. They were actually getting through. This is supposed to be an NFL caliber first round draft pick offensive line.
Yeah.
And they started getting pressure. And then I just want to I'll throw it back to you on this. You mentioned the muff punt, or this could have been a even bad worse score. Let me just tell you, we dropped, Jesse, 3 interceptions.
I know.
3 interceptions.
Yeah, let's go Noles.
Go Noles, baby. Yeah. Go Noles. We dropped 3 interceptions. We get those interceptions. We don't muff that punt. They're probably putting up 50 on this team.
It's just crazy, man. I mean, it really is like and also kudos to Gus Malzahn, right?
Man.
You know,
what a game.
A lot of people said, like, I feel sorry for you guys because, you know, UCF fans, you think Gus Malzahn's gonna be your savior. And it's like, man, I felt like he was gonna do so much better in this role.
Yes.
And like I understand Bama was down their defensive tackle and all that. And maybe that had an effect on the game, maybe it didn't. But you still went in, you know, against a really, really good defense where, you know, the offense had some questions, but the defense was pretty much a solid unit, right? You went up and put up 31 points. I think we only punted twice in the whole game.
Twice. Yep.
So that was good too. Obviously, you had the special teams mistake by Alabama, which was something that you know, they missed the field goal. Yep. So that was something we had talked about in the preview too. But man, I mean, just overall, like it was a four-quarter performance for Florida State. Now, they lulled a little bit there in the third. They stalled a little bit. But, man, I mean, it was a four-quarter performance. They were physical.
Yep.
They played a relatively clean game. I think other than the muffed punt, we didn't have any turnovers. And so they protected the ball. That was big. And, I mean, if I can't say this enough with enough emphasis, right? If you're Tommy Castellanos and you come out, and I'll let you pull the stats up in the meantime. If you come out and say the things that you said, right, in the offseason, and the biggest question was going to be, could you go out and back it up?
Yep.
There's no bigger way to back that up.
You did it.
Than coming into your first start here in Tallahassee and knocking off a top 10 Alabama team in Doak Campbell Stadium. And I mean, this is a night that, you know, we're gonna remember forever. Oh, I mean, like, game aside, man, just storming the field was crazy.
It was wild.
We have the live video up on our channel if you want to watch that. Yep. It was pure chaos. Your boy I got some road rash.
I ain't got a voice.
I think my phone might be dead. That's why it took so long for us to go live because apparently the rain took my phone out. So hopefully that we can get that working again. But man, I mean, just this is a memory I'll never forget.
Oh, absolutely. Jesse, can I give you the stat of the night?
Go for it.
Are you ready for this? Alabama ran the ball 29 times and averaged 3 yards a carry.
That's huge, man. That's huge. And, you know, we talked about this, right? We talked about Tony White's run defense. Yep. He put together two top 10 run defenses at Nebraska.
Yep.
And, I mean, just like the way they came out and the way they handled things once they settled in, of course. And, I mean, you know, there's some things you got to clean up, right?
Absolutely.
Finding holes in the zone and things like that. Yep. But, man, I mean, for the very first game, because, you know, we had talked about – a lot of people talked about this too – how good is that defense going to be? Because it's very multiple in game one. You really haven't gotten things figured out. But, man, they look midseason form for the most part.
I mean, and the talking heads all said that, you know, we don't have the depth on the defensive line to keep with Bama, that by the fourth quarter, they're going to wear us down with that offensive line. They're going to run the wild run ball. And truth be told, that 16-play, 75-yard first drive, they ran the ball. I mean, they threw, I think, maybe twice in that drive. And you thought, okay, maybe this is going to show up earlier than that. But then for some reason, Ryan Grubb and Caleb DeBoer, they went away a little bit from the run game. And then when they tried to run, Florida State just bowed up. And the only thing that was really working for them was when they were running those, like I said, when Tony White would call that, like, that zone, kind of like a cover three, sometimes a Tampa two. And then they would run that split wide receiver in there to kind of confuse wide receivers. But then towards the end there, Tony White and them figured it out, and that defense bowed up. I mean, three, Jesse, we stopped them three times on fourth down. Three times.
Yeah, that was huge, man. That was huge. And,
huge.
And you know, I want to say, like, as much as we congratulate the team too, I want to read this comment here by Matthew. Says our fan base really needed this win.
Absolutely.
And I really agree. And shout out to Knoll Nation.
Oh, man, y'all showed up.
Like, I was at 2011 Oklahoma. I was one of the loudest games you remember. I don't know that we were there, right? You got about 15,000 less people, but
it was loud.
Doak was rocking.
Doak was rocking.
It was a madhouse. When the rain started, it got wild.
It got wild.
And I mean, it was really, it was a special environment.
Oh man, it was so great. Like, I just love that. I'll say again, we said this on the instant reaction, the field instant reaction, but man, kudos to Florida State for a job well done on the game environment, the game experience. It was so much better. The stadium looks amazing.
It really does.
The stadium looks amazing. You know, there's still some kinks they need to work out with the song selection, all of that stuff. But it was incredible. And yes, Knoll Nation, you guys showed up. You were loud. You were into the game the whole time. You didn't let Bama rest one second. I mean, we were the 12th man today.
Yeah,
that was incredible.
It was impressive to see, and it was fun to see, man. And you know, the thing is, just coming off of last year with the apathy that the fan base had, to roll into a win like this.
Yep.
You know, we were talking about it before. Like, I know the next two games, there's probably going to be a lot better crowd now.
Yeah.
But like, if you can avoid the upset in Charlottesville on Friday night, the stage you just set for Doak Campbell Stadium in Miami on October the 4th, this place is going to be absolutely wild.
Yeah. We got to focus on, you know, I know it sounds silly to say this, but it's one game at a time.
Yeah.
East Texas A&M, Kent State, get into the bye week, right? You know, get some of that depth built up, go to Charlotte, take care of business in Charlotte on a Friday night, high school football night.
Yeah.
And then you come back 4-0, you're probably ranked maybe.
Yeah.
And you're playing a Miami team that, you know, depending on what they do against Notre Dame, I mean, it's going to be a ruckus environment.
Yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing about that, you could, I mean, depending on what Miami does against Florida and Notre Dame, there could be game day in town for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think right now what I'm really interested in, especially over the next couple weeks here, while we got some games that are, you should win. I mean, if you just beat Alabama, Lord knows you should win the next two games. I am interested to see what Bama turns out to
be. Yeah, I am too.
Because there's kind of one or two thoughts here, right? Either we had said, right, the one time you wanted to get Bama was game one. Because you didn't want Ty Simpson to really kind of figure some things out.
Right.
And so I'm interested to see what Bama ends up turning into.
Yeah.
Because either they are a little bit overhyped, or this daggone Florida State team is
better than we thought.
Is dangerous, right? And, you know, I think what's interesting too here is, first of all, I want to comment with Henry here.
Yeah.
Get the Kool-Aid.
Get the Kool-Aid, buddy.
It's funny, Henry. I was like, man, I wish I had like a pitcher of Kool-Aid I could just dump on my head or shotgun it or something after the game. Because the Kool-Aid, Michael, there's extra sugar in the Kool-Aid tonight. But, you know, what's cool, right, is something that we talked about in the offseason was, I don't know what the X's and O's might look like, but at the end of the day, when you look at this team and the things we expected from Tony White and everything, what he gets out of his players,
yes,
something we didn't see last year, playing hard and having good fundamentals would take you so far.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what we saw tonight. This team played with an energy and an effort that we haven't seen since 2023. We didn't see it all last year. And so, like, man, you did it with a lot of young guys,
you
too.
Did.
So I think it's just, man, you can't say enough about the team effort that they put in and what they did. Jake Weinberg had a big kick there, made the extra points. And the punter, Mac, you know, for his first night out in the rain, too, did well. And so, man, I mean, it's just you can't say enough about what this team did. And Robbie, we'd love to have you guys.
We'd love to have you.
Miami, we are going to be tailgating in Lot 8. Obviously, if you're watching this, you're more than welcome to show up. But, man, I mean, again, you know, this is just a huge win for this team, man, and a huge win for this program. And it's one of those where this is a program-defining win. This is, this is one where you just definitely – you roll this into the season.
Right.
And you know, the interesting thing, right, Michael, that we had talked about with this even before the game, right? A lot of us, because we didn't know what this team was going to look like, right? No one knew what this team was going to look like. And I'm glad they kept it under wraps now. But we had said, like, if you came out of this game and you lose by 10 or so, you can find 8 or 9 wins on the schedule.
Oh, yeah.
Now, depending on what this Bama team turns out to be, with you having 3 weeks now to really kind of build on top of this, I think you really have to come in and reset the window.
Oh, I think so too.
I think so too. I think now everything is on the table,
absolutely,
right? And I'm not going to go talking playoffs after one game.
No.
But I don't see, like, Clemson, whether Bama's good or not, I think Clemson, maybe Miami and Florida might be the closest thing to Bama at your face. But to me, if you can go out here and basically dog walk Bama on your field, you should be able to win 9 to 10 games this year. I mean, you really should.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you have to reset the mentality you walked into the season with. You know, we were hoping for an 8-4 season. We were saying, you know, if you can upset one of the 4 guaranteed losses that everybody was giving us, including me, Michael, I said it too. So I'm eating this W, as Jameis would say, right?
Yeah.
I think you have to actually reset that. I think you can see now. You can see a pathway to 10 wins.
I think so too. I think, man, and you know, here's the other thing that we hadn't – I just totally glossed over this. There was like, 100 triple-digit recruits like 50 or
so
something.
Many.
There's just a ton of recruits. And so, you know, and you said Jameis's brother, Jonah Winston, committed tonight. So, like, imagine what this is going to do for you in recruiting.
That's right.
I mean, this is huge. The people that saw this, they saw that environment as well. So, I mean, it was huge. And you know, as Alex points out here, I'm sure Feinbaum is probably hiding somewhere with the rest of Bama Nation right now. And so, yeah, man, I mean, we'll see. Like I said, you know, this is an interesting one here for Matthew. Was this more impressive than any game in 2023? And, you know, man, I think at this point I would say it's probably a close second. Like, I still think what you did in the ACC championship
was
to go in with a third string true freshman quarterback and still manage to win that game. That was really impressive. You know, you also beat the brakes off LSU. That was impressive too.
I was there for that LSU game in Orlando. That's a different level of impressiveness because they dominated from start to finish in that game. This game, you after Bama scored 7 points, I mean, you went on a 17-0 run to go into the half. then they scored a field goal, then you scored again, yeah. right? You answered everything they yep. provided.
Yep.
And that's huge. So this has a different level of impressive just based on what you come off last season, what everybody projected. You weren't supposed to be even close to Bama. You were supposed to be 14-point underdogs. We had Bama people sitting next to us screaming that we weren't big enough and Bama was bigger and that yeah. they were better and that all
SEC,
those things.
We too big yeah, or we whatever. Too big. And we turned around and said, SEC, you up out of here. And so, yeah, Bama fans hit the door before the game was even over. And so, yeah, I would say, you know, I just think with all the change that you had and everything that was being said and the chances that you were given, I got to say this is very impressive.
This is Mike Norvell's best win.
Yeah, for sure.
The reason why we're saying that is because of the circumstances, what they were coming off of. No one gave you a chance. I almost wish this game was on the road because this would have been a great sod game.
Yeah.
But they did it here at home with one of the best crowds Duke Campbell Stadium has seen in a brand new stadium. I mean, this is one of his best wins. One of his and here's the thing. I said this earlier on the instant reaction is that Mike Norvell managed this game to perfection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the benefit of him being a CEO coach now. He can let Gus handle the offense, Tony handle the defense, JP special teams, and he can manage the game. I mean, we saw what happened when Deion took two timeouts with an L last night because he didn't manage the game well. Managing the game is just as important as calling plays, and Mike did a fantastic job tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, I think just some individual performances to – well, this isn't an individual one, but, you know, when you look at this offensive line,
yes.
I mean, you're talking about night and day from yes. last year. You know, these guys, you know, they come out here and, I mean, 230 yards rushing, only 4.7 yards per carry, but still, you know, you took some knees at the end. That right. kind of tanked out right. a little bit. But this offensive line is night and day from last
year.
I mean, they had a push on Bama. And yes. so I think that's really impressive. Mekhi Dansey.
Yes. Oh, my God.
He is an X factor.
Thank you for unlocking him.
Yeah, he is. He could be special.
Ooh.
And then the freshman,
Kroma.
You know, Usman Kroma, like really, man.
Most carries, most yards among the running backs.
Yeah, he showed out. And, I mean, I thought Jalen Lucas did pretty good, too, you know, other than the punt, the special teams mistake there. But and then, you know, Thomas Castellanos. We already touched on him as well. But,
I mean,
you can't say enough about it. He was poised. He managed the offense well.
Didn't make any mistakes. Got rid of the ball when he needed
yep.
to. Right?
Yeah.
What kept the offense humming, you know? There were a couple plays that busted that he got. You know, a little Jordan-esque where, you know, last year that would have been a 7-8 yard loss. He was able to get neutral yards or forward thing. Oh, this is a really big one. I'll throw this back to you on. One of the things I noticed in this game was that every run play except for one went for positive yards.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and get the detailed stats. I'll be interested in that. I don't know that other than the kneel downs and a couple of one or two really maybe a handful of plays were negative. Every other play was positive yards. And and really, man, I think kudos to Tommy because we were concerned about some turnover issues. He took care of the ball. I thought you saw flashes of what his arm can be because that one where he threw it to Squirrel White down the sideline, that was beautiful. And then, you know, again, credit to Squirrel White. Like, we talked about that as well, right? Yep. We were like, I think Squirrel White, I've been saying this all offseason, that I think he is the most underrated addition to this offense because the guy's a burner. He can get past the DB. Yeah. Really, Michael, I think one of my only complaints tonight on the night is I was a little disappointed in Deuce Robinson.
Yeah.
He had a lot of drops, right? And that's something that needs to get
Key
cleaned
third down
up.
Drop too as well.
Yeah, that was something that I was a little bit disappointed in there because you're relying on him much.
That's right.
But, I mean, really, it was just a team effort, man. And you know, for them to come out and just play like they did, it's impressive. And you know, Alabama's still a really good team, right?
Absolutely.
And Kalen DeBoer's a good coach, and I'm sure they'll figure it out throughout the season. And we talked to the Alabama guy. He's a player.
Yeah, former player.
We talked to a former player afterwards, and he said, man, look, this is not about Alabama. This is about Florida State. You guys went out there, and you took it.
Yeah.
And you deserve credit for it. And so, you know, I think right now, I think the biggest question in my mind, and you know, I don't want to, like, say anything negative after a win like Bama. The biggest question on my mind for this team now, because, again, you have to reset expectations
That's
for
right.
this season, is you played your butt off in the environment that you were in tonight in Doak, right? can you go on that sleepy road game on a Friday night up to Charlottesville where there's not going to be a lot of people there? I'm sure those guys are probably already selling their tickets after they saw you beat Alabama. And, you know, so I think when that's the biggest question is, can you rise to the occasion every single week, no matter the opponent? You don't play down to your opponent. Right. And if you can do that, there's not a team on the schedule that I don't think you can hang with. I mean, we'll see what Clemson turns out to be. Yeah. That's a tough environment to go up to Death Valley. But I really don't think there's a team on the schedule that, you can – if you play like you did tonight, there's not a team on the schedule that you can't beat.
No, absolutely. If you come out every single game with the same mentality, the same – put our foot in your throat, take this home, that killer instinct, there is not a team you can't hang with. Now, you might go to Clemson, and it's going to be difficult. That's going to be probably the – that's the second – that's going to be the most hardest environment you're going to play in the season.
Yeah.
I'll put second Carleton Stadium because until I see it, I'm going to still think that's going to be hard.
Even though they struggled with East Carolina a little bit.
You know what? I'm not – you know, like I did this during the game.
Yeah.
Put the brakes on. But, yeah, Clemson is going to be the one team that you probably – you know, it's Bama-like, so you're going to get up for that game. But every other game is right there before you,
Right, and I think, you know, if this team just goes into every game like they did this one with, you know, we're not worried about them. We're worried about us. You know what I mean? Because we heard them talk about that, right, all week. Like, yeah, Bama, whatever. You know, if we're Florida State, like, we're built for games like this. And if that's we just do our thing, then we can have we can come out on top of this, and that's exactly what they did. And so I, you know, I just don't think you're really scared to go into any game now against anybody if you can show up and play every week and you stay healthy. And I'm really, you can't put into words what this victory means. And I don't know what y'all were wearing tonight, but you better make sure it's on every Saturday. So
wear it again.
Yeah, we'll make sure it's on every Saturday. Quick little note here that I want to say that's not really at all game related. It's just, I appreciate you guys rocking with us, obviously, right? We had a couple of, we had probably, what, four or five people up. And so, and come up and introduce them. So, hey, I know you're Jesse and Mike with Plant the Spear. That was a that was just really cool for us, you know, small time guys. That was really cool. So shout out to you guys who interacted with us at the game. We really appreciate that as well. But man, I mean, you know, Michael, when I was not supposed to be here.
And
I
would have been you were supposed to be in court.
I was supposed to be in jury duty. So thank God I would have been in contempt to be here. That would have been worth it. That would have been okay. Eastbound and down would have been hiding. So, but you know what, man? I think really like I would have been disappointed that I wasn't here. But if you had told me coming down here that this game would have been basically a four-quarter owned game by Florida State and that we would have been storming the field afterwards – I don't know that I would have believed you. And, you know, even then, man, like, we told y'all. We said, hey, look, if Florida State wins, we're going to go live from the field. And we did. And, you know, this isn't a sod game. But, Michael Alford, if you're watching, I apologize. But there is some sod that has
been missing.
That has been possessed. So, hopefully they can do a little lay and play on top of that. But, man, I mean, it's just, you know, just what a what an awesome night, man.
I mean, we were just standing on the field, you and I were, and – we almost just like we just didn't have words for it. All we could do was scream and laugh and do the war chant and dance and with the students and everybody. I mean, it was just incredible to be in that environment tonight, to see the passion and the pageantry of Florida State come alive again. That's all we want, man. We just I mean, we are an elite program. We belong among the nation's elite. And to be able to see that tonight put on full display, especially when – and shout out to Florida State alum Lee Corso, the only guy –
stood on business
on his last game day, his 441st pick. He picked Ohio State. They put the headgear on. But he said – I think his exact words were, I went to Florida State. I'm not picking against them. Like, everybody else picked Alabama, and he picked us, and we stood on business for him. So, shout out to Coach Corso. Hey, also, Coach Corso, congratulations to an amazing career.
Yeah, for sure.
We so appreciate all you've
done. The band paid a tribute to him at halftime, which was really cool as well. So, yeah, man, just an all-around great night. And, you know, Jeff makes a good point here where he says you make your biggest, you know, jump from week one to week two. And I think really what you're going to see over the next – 3 weeks, really, because you know, you essentially, we talked about this, right? You have a mini camp in the early part of your season here to figure things out. I think now is where you're going to build depth.
That's right. Right?
You're going to get some of the, you're going to be able to get some more of these guys, some workload. Right. And I think now, you know, we were talking about this on the way back to the car, where I think my mindset in these two games have changed, right? Because initially I was like, okay, play them depending on how it happens. You need to get this team rolling in these next couple of weeks. I think now it's kind of more of like, let them get some work in, because there's still some things to clean up.
Yep.
But let's protect this team more than anything. Absolutely. Let's put in glass in case of emergency.
Yeah.
And let's get these young guys something, because that's the big thing. You know, if you can start to build some depth, right? If you can build depth with this team over the next couple weeks.
That
just really sets you up for the rest of the season. You know what I mean? That makes a much better opportunity for you to run, you know, the course of the season, to run the gamut. And so, I mean, it's just big. You get those next 3 weeks to really build some depth. We have a little surprise for you guys. We got a guest of honor. The only
War Chance Ira Chappelle.
We got Victor Cigars out. Yeah. So Ira, man, just
give us your thoughts.
Did you ever see this happening?
No, not at all. I mean, I thought they'd play well. I thought the offense, I mean, I've written about it. We talked about it. I thought the offense would be able to move the ball.
Yeah.
Not surprised by that. Really impressed by the defense.
Yeah.
And just how physical they were. And,
yeah.
And it's everything. You knew that Tony White was striving to get out of these guys, and it was there Earl Little and Ashlyn Barker and the linebackers, Justin Cryer filling holes. I mean, it was just and the defensive line, again, that first drive was what we were all worried
about.
But then they just, man, he just kept rotating guys. He kept guys started getting their feet under him and stepping up. And so many different – that was the impressive thing about the defense. So many different dudes when they played.
I think the physicality of this team really stood out, and just the moxie, like to go toe to toe with Bama, and not even it was their game. It was Florida State's game for four quarters.
Well, you know, we know you're the binoculars guy. You're watching. Tell us what you saw. What the posture, the attitude, the body language on the sidelines.
They make it a little harder now with those tents.
It used to be a
lot easier back in the day. They were all out in the open, and now they make it a little harder. But I was impressed that guys, even early in the game, seemed to be having fun and having a good attitude, even when the first drive didn't go well. And then the other thing that I was just impressed by was the way they – and I asked, you know, Mike Norvell and some of the players about it. When the Jalen Lucas fumble happened, that to me was like, okay, 2024 Florida State, that's where things fall apart.
You know?
And instead, the defense goes out and gets the ball right back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Sawchuck's run late in the game was just – I mean, it was just it was impressive. But to me, again, it wasn't a there's nothing fluky about that. You outrushed them. You outhit them. You were smarter. You were more disciplined. All the penalties they had.
The crowd.
I mean, it's just, man, it was such incredible. A complete win. And they can be so much better.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right. And I will say, like, to the ones who said Doak wasn't going to be loud down 12, it was awesome tonight. It was a great atmosphere. And kudos to Tommy Castellanos.
Man.
You know, he talked his talk in the offseason, and I would say all intents and purposes, he backed it up.
Yeah, 100%, man. Those guys, and you knew that they believed in him as a playmaker.
Yeah.
But I think when he runs hard, you know, he picked up some hard runs. When a dude that size, and, you know, and Jalen Lucas had his size. And, I mean, again, Mike Mekhi Dansey, that wasn't just speed. I mean, he showed some physicality, too. So it was impressive, man. I'm going to let you guys run.
Okay.
Yeah. I know you guys got to do your thing.
You. Yeah.
But good luck with everything.
Appreciate it. Yeah, man, we appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hopefully this is the beginning of a great season.
Yeah.
So we appreciate Iris for stopping by. We caught him walking by. We got to meet him at ACC Media Days. Great guy. So, you know, we saw him going by, and we had to grab him real quick. So, man, just, you know, again, man, I just think, like, to kind of bring it home here, Michael, is just – It just makes your mouth water for what the season can be, right? Because you can really start to dream big a little bit. Now, it's only one game. You know, you don't want to get too carried away. I still think you got to stay healthy.
Yes.
But, you know, man, I'm just so encouraged at what it can be. And, Henry, yes, we are going to have a blast at the UVA, the Virginia game. I can't wait for that one. We're going to have a tailgate.
I'm driving up there now.
In the West lot. Earl Little is a player balled out. Yeah, man, he was all over. You knew he was going to want it really bad, right? You knew he was going to want it really bad. And then, you know, I think the other thing too, man, is like they were getting the crowd into it. The crowd was feeding off their energy. And so it's really, I mean, this is an infectious team. You know, I will say this, Michael, I think back to 2023. One thing about that team is they were fun to watch.
They were fun.
And they were easy to cheer for.
Yes.
And I think that's the one thing I really feel about this team is, like, it's a very likable team, right?
Yes.
And I mean, just to I think more than just the personalities, but to see them go out and play hard, because I think that's what really made, you know, last year, for what it was or what it wasn't, the effort stuff was just hard to watch every week. And so if you have a team full of guys with good personalities like this, and, you know, and they go out and play hard like they did tonight every single week, good things are bound to happen.
That's right.
And that makes us as fans really excited. That makes you want to pack the stadium. That makes you want to do all the things. And so, man, it's just, you know, the sky's the limit with this team. And I'm just I know we've been talking for 30 minutes, but I still feel like I'm speechless, man. Yeah. I just can't pinch me. Like, I don't know that this really happened, right? This is crazy. So, I mean, you took it to Bama for four quarters. You did what they said you couldn't.
Yep.
They said, and I, you know, I watched it early, like the, I think it was J.D. Pickell and all these guys where they're like, Florida State, I wouldn't be surprised if you check your phone and it's like a three-point game a half. Right, maybe they're even leading, right? And but then in the second half, Bama's going to kind of put the depth on and they're going to roll over you and things like that. And, you know, they're going to – it'll get away late,
That's right? And
they'll end up covering the spread. Yep. And that was not at all the case.
Not even close.
You know, Florida State, like we said, that first drive, they did some things that you didn't like them to see. But like we said, man, it's the first drive of the season.
Absolutely.
Let them settle in. Yep. And they settled in great, man. And so – I am highly encouraged about seeing Gus Malzahn as a coordinator to continue this role. I'm really highly encouraged about what Tony White's defense could be. You know, we talked about where, you know, your old offensive coordinator, and credit to what they did in 2023, but your offensive coordinator in 2024 was an ex-offensive line coach at Charlotte.
At Charlotte.
Now you got a guy who has played for national championships, has won a national championship, can go toe-to-toe with Bama. And what'd you say he tweeted tonight? Like, feels like old times
he said
or something?
Gus Malzahn tweeted out, it feels like old time, because that boy knows how to beat Bama.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you have to just – you can't understate how big this win for the program was. And for, there can't be a human probably on the face of the earth. And I'm pretty high on life right now with this. No one can feel better than Mike Norvell right now.
Oh, man.
I mean, I guarantee you – He probably just, I don't know, man, cried tears of relief after this.
Just after the offseason he went through where everybody was reminding him. I mean, we went to the booster stands.
Calling for his job.
Calling for his job. 2-10 He can't do it. He's a fluke. He didn't have Jordan Travis. All those different things. For him to come out there and really just kind of like just tuck the team and said, look, put them in a cocoon, shut the media out, said, we're just going to work on us. We're going to focus on us. And then like you kept telling me, Jesse kept telling me, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to go back and watch it now, was the cinematic.
The climb episode six.
Where he says the clock is ticking.
The clock is ticking to Bama because he knew how big this game was. And so,
that's,
man,
huge.
It is big. It really is big. And, you know, something that we harped on, and that I had said probably 150 times in the offseason is, this is an entirely different team.
Yes.
And so it should not be unrealistic to expect entirely different results.
That's right.
And that's exactly what we saw tonight. We saw a team with fight, with heart, with grit, that didn't give up, that played as a team, that relied on each other, that fed off the energy of the crowd. Doke was amazing. I don't know that I'm going to be able to talk tomorrow.
I mean,
so,
it's going to be hard.
Yeah, so I mean, good luck with that. But, man,
let me point out this one thing. I thought something that really like blew me away was when I looked at Florida State's speed against Bama.
Yeah.
I thought Bama would be able to match it and maybe even surpass it. This team was faster than Bama.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's one thing that's interesting too, that I'm going to look up while we're talking about it. Michael, did Ryan Williams play?
Yeah, he had like two catches.
Five catches for 30 yards.
Okay, five.
You know, Isaiah Horton, one catch for 6 yards.
And he got lit up. Ryan Williams got lit up.
Right, and so on a BS targeting call.
Yes.
But, you know, again, like we just – the thing was all the talk about these receivers, right?
Yeah.
And they got the three-headed monster and all this stuff. One catch for 6 yards out of Isaiah Horton.
Yeah.
You know, nothing out of Ryan Williams.
Now, Bernard was a real deal.
Right.
He was the go-to get-him-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah, and I mean, so that I think just the way that you were able to really shut that receiving core down, because again, man, like you did okay at the run. You know, just gonna look real quick. You had said where 87 yards rushing. You held them.
You held them.
Listen, Michael, I know y'all like to pick on me about stats, right? What did I tell you before this game? Alabama lost last year, held under 100 yards of rushing.
Again. Thank you.
How many yards rushing is that? 87.
87.
So, I mean, the blueprint was there, and they did it. And you also rushed for over 200 yards. And so that's huge, man. And so, I mean, Henry, we saw him, and we grabbed him.
Grabbed
and
him.
So Man, we just met so many cool people tonight and just had such a fun time. And so, you know, again, man, to come out in game one, and I know the excuses are going to fly. You know it's coming. We didn't have X, Y, and Z.
I heard Joe Tess was just a butt on the
podcast. I'm not surprised. But, you know, it's funny how, like, the depth was supposed to blow Florida State out in the second half, but all of a sudden the lack of depth will now become the excuse. And so I really think that it's just really impressive that Florida State was able to almost manhandle Alabama. Yep. I mean, really, when you rush for over 200 yards and you hold them for under 100 yards, that tells you right there, you won the line of scrimmage against Alabama.
That's right.
And that's, you can't ask for better than that, because they're going to be one of the best teams in the trenches that you'll face.
We said, and if you go back and watch the game preview, we said number one thing key was you've got to win the trenches, both offensive line, defensive line. You've got to push Bama on the defensive line, and you've got to attack that offensive line. And what they do, you know, outside of that first drive where they couldn't get pressure on them, they got pressure with, I'm telling you, they didn't rush more than six. They never blitz more than six. I mean, Bama tried an all-out blitz, which got Tommy Castellanos, because that was the only pressure they were getting on us.
Yeah.
But they pushed. They had the offensive line had great push tonight. They were moving the ball. Like you said, there might be two or three plays that were negative. But other than that, all those plays were positive. They were getting 3 yards. I mean, and boy, before we get out of here, we got to talk about the freshman, that running back.
Yeah, and, well, I want to say one thing, too. You know, when you talk about the defense, after that first drive when they settled in, really the only plays for Alabama that worked were kind of busting coverage where you let a receiver kind of get lost in the mix, the zone, right?
Yep.
And so that's really encouraging that it's like you weren't getting nickel and dimed up and down the field.
Right.
You didn't really give up these big explosive plays. Yeah. You didn't get burned down the sideline for like a vertical route or something like that. So. Yep. It was almost like they only got what you gave them.
That's right.
And so, I mean, it's so impressive. And, you know, again, I want to bring up here what William comments about the second time out and the pace. I will say this, too. You saw the tempo early.
Yep,
now, they slowed down late when they were trying to take the air out of the ball a little bit and slow the game down. But, man, that tempo, that pace, for being the first game of the season, I was – honestly kind of shocked at how fast they were able to push the tempo and to really get that offense moving. And so, man, that was impressive. And again, because you're only going to build on top of that. And so, you know, Sydney, we were more than happy to go live here. It would have been sooner, but apparently the rain is giving my phone a hard time. So we may have to go see Verizon on Monday there. But, you know, ESPN changing their tune, as Steven says here. Well, it's funny how that works. You know, that's always – it's funny anytime you beat their beloved Alabama.
Their beloved Alabama.
Right? And now they got to change their tune. And so, man, it's just – it's awesome. And you know, again, so many things. Like, I thought Roydell ran hard tonight.
Yeah,
I thought he really ran well as too.
Thought Gavin Sawchuk with the touchdown.
Sawchuk, yeah, again. And
tough,
then
physical.
Man, if there's one play tonight that I would circle out of the whole thing, it is that last run by Gavin Sawchuk. Because when you got down to the one It became a battle of wills.
Oh, it became a man-on-man battle.
Basically. And Florida State said, we're not losing this.
We're not losing
and
this.
And pushed him into the end zone. And to me, that right there was where you kind of put Bam in a chokehold.
Yeah.
And shoved him against the wall and was like, not in our stadium, not in our house.
Well, when they were on the one after they got that big play there, I for some reason, I don't know why, Jesse, I heard Jameis Winston. You know, I took to my brothers and I said, are you strong? They said, we strong. I said, we strong then. And boom, they went into the thing. They did it. Like, it was just incredible. Like, I thought David Johnson did a masterful job rotating those backs so that they were always fresh.
Yep.
Always fresh. Always fresh.
And I was really glad that they let the freshman get as many carries as he did, because at first, you know, they really didn't kind of roll with him in the first quarter at all. And I was like, man, I'm going to be really disappointed if we kind of put him on a shelf, because I thought maybe early on they were a little nervous to kind of trust the freshman.
But they did.
You can see that kid's going to be special.
Oof.
He is going to be special. I think your biggest question with Kroma, how long can you hang on to him? I think that's your biggest question, because I mean, he's going to be great. And so I think you have three
most carries.
Yeah.
And the most yards of all the running backs today.
And you had three really good running backs, good offensive line play tonight. You know, again, like we said, man, other than Deuce at wide receiver had some drops, I thought everybody else did really well. You know, if we hit hard all this year with what James says here, it's going to be a pretty fun season. And I agree, man, because that was the one thing that we kept noticing, even on the plays where maybe they didn't go your way, them boys were hitting. They were bringing it to Alabama. I promise you, there's some dudes that wore a crimson and whatever the heck they wear that are probably going to be need some ibuprofen to be pretty sore in the morning.
They're going to be in the ice tank wherever they get to, because they were – I mean, you heard popping of pads. I mean, that hit – that Ryan Williams took on that dig route.
Yeah.
Even though he caught the ball. I mean, he dropped the ball. Then they tried to call targeting. It got reversed, thank goodness. But he got laid out.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, again, the whole, it's just so funny because of all the disrespect will be addressed. Well, it was addressed tonight by one Tommy Castellanos. And I'm sure you guys are having a great time pulling some receipts. Yeah. I got a CVS receipt. That I got to pull out of here and pull on some folks, because I was told, right, that Florida State had a chance until Tommy talked his talk, and man, he went out and he backed it up. And so, you know, I think two comments here with Sydney that says, I'm proud of Mike for trusting his coordinators to do his job. I thought that was really big too. You know, and I think that's the other thing where you can see where like Mike Norvell is involved probably on that fourth down call and all that. And so he can manage, you know, he can manage the game.
Yeah.
But you also have the other guys that are, you know, you're allowing them to do their job.
Yep.
And yes, I agree, William. You know, that Woo. We talked about it earlier. That fourth down call,
Woo.
You know, Michael, those types of plays, right? Those types of calls you're taking a very big risk.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't get that, you could easily let Alabama back into the game.
Well, that was on your 30.
Right. And if you get it, you essentially, you know, you're working on closing the game
That's
out.
Right.
But when you give your team and you say, look, I'm going to believe in you, and I'm going to let you go out here and prove that I can trust you on this fourth down.
Yep.
That builds trust between the coach and the coordinators. And, you know, I think, man, that was really big, because now this team is going to continue to bond. They're going to continue to gel, and they're going to believe in this coaching staff. And the coaching is going to believe in them. So everything, you know, I think when you look at where Tony Whitehead said they had some guys who were some problems, you know, jumping on the bus and everything like that. You got a chance to kind of weed some of them out, and now I think this is going to build that belief within the program, right?
Yeah, Hussey wish he was still on this team.
No kidding. Mm. So yeah, man. I mean, this is maybe go play for Alabama. it sound like they need some secondary. But yeah, man. And real quick, he said here. James says TC was 9 of 14, and ran
200 yards passing. Yep.
And so, man. And you know, the funny thing is, we talked about this, right? We said the Diego Pavia example.
Yep.
Like, you don't need to try and do too much. You just need to take what's there.
Yep.
And that's exactly what he did. Robbie.
Man, thank you, Robbie.
Appreciate the super chat here, man. We really appreciate that. Helps support what we do. I might have to put it towards a new phone. Hopefully my charge report. Hopefully that dries out here. You know, and to the SEC soon. I don't know, man. We'll have to see. And what's interesting about that, right, is everyone always says, like, can you compete? Well, man, we just
took their best team, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, you knocked off Bama. You beat the SEC West champ and LSU in 22. And so, I mean, there's no doubt that Florida State can hang if whatever conference you're in, right? Yeah. And so I just think, man, it's just what a night, right? Like, I know we're coming up here before too long. We're going to have to kind of wrap this up, man. Yeah. But, you know, it's just I could not have sat down and written out a better night for Florida State, because it wasn't just the score on the scoreboard. It was the entire thing.
It's
how you played from snap one to the very last whistle. It was the game plan that you put together. It was the crowd. It was the interaction. You know, I think we had a couple of delay of games.
Oh,
you had a couple burn a couple of timeouts. So Doak was, you know, where it was supposed to be. And so, man, I think, like, if you can keep that energy and that effort up and you can keep the crowd as well too, man, like, we'll see how they do tomorrow night against Notre Dame. But, I mean, I don't think Miami's going to be walking in here with too much too high on their horse now. They know they're going to have to earn it. So, you know, man, we're going to see. My friend Jesse says, time for that iPhone.
I know. I've been saying the same
He's
thing.
He's been trying to get me on it. We were talking about it the other day. I said, I don't want to take the dive into the Apple world. I'm an Android guy still, so maybe that's my problem. I just need to get a case with a cover on it. I didn't. The rain came and went, right?
It did
come and go. But there was, you know, if I lost my phone over to being able to live stream on the field, it is what it is. You guys go check that out. It's on our channel.
Yep.
It's probably, I'm going to be honest with you, it's probably 10 minutes of just a hot freaking mess.
Couldn't understand what we were saying.
We were just so excited. I just had to go live. We couldn't see any comments. Nope. I saw there, I think a couple people dropped a super chat, so I really appreciate that. I'll have to go back and look at the comments on that. Yep. But man, like, you know, we just had to get live. And really, I had to stop doing some score updates because my battery was going down, and I was like, oh no, I got to be able to do this because we said we were going to. Steven, my guy from Raleigh.
New member.
Epic win. Hey, man, maybe you were the good luck. So we appreciate the super chat there as well. But, man, yeah, I mean, Steven, I know he's up in Raleigh. He's a barber, so he's going to have a great time at the shop.
That's right.
On Monday, he's going to have bragging rights all over everybody. Man, that's just so huge, man. And so, you know, I just think, man, all in all, it was a great night.
Yeah, it was a great night. It was a really great night. You know, I thought Florida State did a great job there. You know, they showed up when they were supposed to, as they were supposed to. They didn't listen to the noise. They didn't listen to us. They didn't listen to anybody else. They just went and handled business like they were supposed to. And now they can look at the season and just go one game at a time.
Yep.
Right? So all you're focused on now, Florida State, is East Texas A&M. That's all you focus on, right? Game plan for that. You're probably going to see a lot of vanilla stuff. They're not going to get really, you know, that they're going to try to, you know, my hope is that, you know, probably by somewhere in the second quarter, you can rest the starters. You're putting in backups.
I'm hoping to see what Kevin Sperry's got.
I want to see Brock Glenn. I want to see Brock Glenn improvement. I want to see the freshman get some more run. I just want to see more. You know, Javon Boggs started the game, but he didn't have any, stats, but he was out there. He was out there. He played hard. He blocked well. Just, you know, the ball just didn't get to him. They only threw 14 times. So hopefully we'll see more of him and get him some more catches and stuff like that in the next couple games. But that's all you're doing. You're just focusing one game at a time. That's all you're worried about. One game at a time. And, you know, you take care of these 2 weeks. You get the bye week. You go up to Charlotte, you know, 3-0, hopefully. And you take care of business there so that when you come back from Miami, man, this place is going to be nuts.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it does. It and Ross, we appreciate the super chat there.
Thanks, Ross,
coming in as well. Yeah, go Noles. And you know, we had talked about this too. And you know, Jeff dropping a super chat as well. We really appreciate that, Jeff. And so, man, we did dominate. We dominated the trenches on both sides of the ball. That was huge tonight. And you know, the one thing you know we had talked about, right, where we were like, man, if I could wave a magic wand, I would move that East Texas A&M game ahead of Alabama. But I think now that you have beat Alabama, now it almost works in your favor because, again, you got that 3-week mini camp to really kind of hammer some stuff out and get some guys healthy. So, man, I just can't say enough about it, man. And this is a night, I promise you, that like most Noles fans will never forget. I'll never forget.
Nope.
You got a little bit of revenge on Alabama for the snub and all that stuff. Man. So, you know, hey, Saban wasn't here to save him.
He did tell us that Nick Saban wasn't here to save him, and then you know Bama said, oh, the disrespect will be addressed. Well, it got addressed just by us.
It did. And Jeff, we appreciate that as well, coming in and saying 30 Chroma is a beast. He is, man. He ran hard. For his first game in college, right? He was in high school this time last year, so you let him. I think what you're really going to see, Michael, is I think in the next 3 weeks, you're going to see that batch of young guys that stepped up tonight.
Yep.
You're going to see them take the extra step. And so, like, man, I think the biggest thing now is, like you said, one game at a time.
Okay.
Let's go beat East Texas A&M. Let's go beat Kent State. Those are games that you should win decisively. And then I think, you know, every game is going to become important now because your vision has changed. You are now – I'm not going to put us in the playoffs, but Charlotte is within reason. I think you could think that. So I think it's very important to go get that win in Charlottesville on Friday night against UVA, come home, back it up with a win against Miami.
Yep.
And if you can do those two things, man, you put yourself in a position to make a run for Charlotte.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Charlotte's always the first goal, right? Get to Charlotte.
Because you can play your way into the playoffs.
Play your way into the playoffs, right? You don't have to go necessarily undefeated, though. That would be nice. Charlotte is always that first goal. So you want to get back, you want to get rested up, get all the boys, get all that stuff done, and then start focusing on Texas A&M. And, you know, I just really appreciate the mentality that Mike Norvell has had with this team. You know, they're focused, man. I mean, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but, like, you just didn't see – They were in their spaces. They were taking, they were in the right gaps this time. You didn't see any loafing. Even when the play didn't work out for them, you saw an attack to the ball. They didn't quit running. When Bama got, I think they had like three explosive plays, all on busted coverages, and they still hustled to get those guys down, which made a huge difference, right? Huge difference.
Yeah.
And I think that they got to carry that mentality into next week. Because this is going to be a much lesser opponent. It's going to be much harder to get up for. Do you have that same mentality?
Sleepy noon game, the next two of them, really. Yep. So, yeah, you got, you can't play down to your competition.
That's right.
You can't back this up with a bad performance or something like that. But, I mean, you won't have any problems next week. But, no, man, I just think it was, you know, again, like the way you were able to play tonight, if you can keep that up. And I thought this team, you know, again, they responded well. Yep. Like, there was one point where it was, what, 24-17?
Yep.
And a lot of us were like –
we were nervous, man.
We kind of talked a lot. We were talking Tommy in the first half there. We were telling Bama fans, like, oh, see you later. And then it was like, uh-oh. But last year I would have been worried, right? Yeah, and we were worried because of last year. But this team responded. Like, when they hit the, when their back hit the wall, they responded. And so that is really encouraging just to see the fight in this team, you know? And this is going to galvanize that locker room.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. And so, man, I'm just – again, I just can't say enough about the performance tonight, and it really just comes down to, can you build on it?
Yep.
And that's going to be huge, man. And Jeff says here, if Miami doesn't crystal ball themselves, we might have – I think so, man, because that's something we're talking about. Like, the thing is, too, you'll know about Miami by the time they get here because you will have seen them against Notre Dame. You will have seen them against Florida. And so you'll know a lot about that team that's coming into Tallahassee. And so, you know, that game could set up. Now – truth be told, Michael, I'm never going to cheer for Miami to win anything.
Nope.
So I would hope they would come into that game like kind of 2-1-1 because I wish they could tie Florida because I really just want both of them to lose.
That'd be nice.
And of course, I don't want them to beat Notre Dame. But as if that's the way it shakes out, I will say this, Michael: the last time, and you guys have heard me talk about this, the wildest game I've ever been to in Dope was 2013 Miami. That was also the last time Florida State Miami played as top 10 teams inside Doak Campbell Stadium. If they're able to hold up, you know, we probably won't be top 10 by then. But if you're both ranked in that game, I think that's probably going to be, being you had 3:30 noon and noon.
Yep.
And then I know you got the night game at UVA, but I think that's going to be your first home night game.
Yep.
That's my prediction. That's what I hope. That's going to be a wild atmosphere.
Ooh, it's going to be a wild atmosphere because you know how it is when Miami comes to Doak, especially when they're ranked, man. It's just something different about Doak Campbell Stadium. When ranked versus ranked, Miami and Florida State get into the same field. It's crazy. But again, I know I sound like a broken record, guys, but I'm the guy that, like, I'm just like, nope, I don't want to look ahead.
Yeah.
I just want to East Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Focus on that.
Yeah. And you can't, because I know Virginia has NC State before us. So you'll get to kind of see what they do a little bit there. You can't be like, okay, well, you know, we can beat Miami now and then go lay an egg at UVA.
Exactly.
So you got to handle your business there. And if you get the win on the road there, then that really sets that game up. But it's one game at a time. But, you know, again, man, like I said, I just think kind of my closing thoughts here, because my laptop battery's getting ready to die. You know, man, I think, again, you have to reset your expectations for this team now. I think 8-4 is almost your floor.
Yeah,
like, that's absolutely almost your floor that you want now. I think realistically, you may drop one somewhere, right? So, but I don't think 10-2, 11-1 is out of the realm of possibility, because everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of people had this penciled in as a loss.
That's
and so, if you were starting at 8-4 with this loss, now you're already at 9-3. And so we'll just have to see how it goes, man. I mean, it's going to be big. It's going to be big for recruiting. It's going to be big for the belief of the crowd and the program and everything like that. And so, man, I was impressed by the team. I was impressed by the coaching staff. I was impressed by Doak, and I was impressed by the fans. So, man, just an all-around great night. And, man, you know, we were talking about the other day, like, if this game didn't work out well, that the next 3 weeks might be rough for us, because, like, who's going to really care about East Texas A&M and Kent State? But now, man, I just think you can ride this high for the next 3 weeks, and you can get better.
Yep.
That's the thing. You took it to Bama tonight, and this was game one. This team can still get much better over the next 3 weeks.
Absolutely.
And so it really it gets you excited for what the season could be.
Yeah. Well, my closing thoughts are, just same echo what you said, Jesse, just really proud of the team, proud of the coaching staff, proud of Joe, proud of the administration. They just put on a great show today. And I love what you said. This team can get better. There were some definite things that Mike can put on film today. Tony can put on film. Gus can put on film and said, no, this ain't going to cut it. We got to be better here. We've got to be better catching balls, right? We've got to be better making sure we seal our blocks. We got to be better wide receivers of holding and sustaining blocks longer. Defense, we got to communicate better. We got to know we can't be releasing a receiver to the corner 15 yards down the field, right? We got to communicate better. But they keep working on that. I mean, even special teams like, Jake made his own field, the one field goal he had a chance to.
Yeah.
The punter, it wasn't great, but
his first game,
So he can get better as well. There's so much that this team can get better, and they always say you get better from week one to week two. The jump is significant.
Yeah,
so.
And it's hard to nitpick during a win, right? You don't want to do that, but I think when you talk about resetting the expectations, now you got to talk about getting better. You got to nitpick because now you're talking about trying to go and play for an ACC championship or something like that. I think you got to be one of the favorites for Charlotte right now, Like Jeff said, I mean, hey, bring it back to Jalen Ramsey. Like, if you're not coming to Florida State,
what is you doing?
Yeah. And so, man, I want to say to Brandon real quick. Yes,
see this.
We did see that. Someone commented it on our Twitter, upset Bama fan. They were all pretty upset. The ones behind us were practically having a meltdown.
Oh, they were.
They weren't used to that. I don't know that. It was so much fun. It was an all-around good time.
I was on Twitter as we were waiting to kind of get set up, and I was I hopped on Bama's post-game post, when they say win-loss, and they're already calling for DeBoer's job. I mean, we said he lost his game. The pressure would skyrocket.
Yeah. I mean, now Bama has to respond and go win some games, and I'm sure the pitchforks have come out in Alabama tonight. I won't tell y'all the comment that I said on the field because it was a little bit out there, but it was kind of fun. It was kind of funny, but man, Michael, this is gonna do it for us here in Tallahassee. Florida State wins 31-17.
Sweet music.
Spanked the Tide, rolled the Tide tonight in a beautiful night in Doak Campbell Stadium. Still I'm soaking wet. I'm just ready. Michael, I need to put on some dry. I still ain't got dry socks. Hopefully my phone's charged so I can find my way up out of here. But, man, we appreciate you guys rocking with us. We had a great time. And you guys be safe, celebrate responsibly, have fun.
Yes, please.
And, man, just live it up. Enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
After last year, Michael, and the lack of fun that we had all season, man, enjoy this, Noel Nation. Enjoy this. Have a great time. Really enjoy this one. And you guys have a great night. And like and subscribe.
Yes, please.
If you guys are watching this, might as well become a subscriber to the channel. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything, and it helps support us. You can become a tribe member if you'd like for one small donation a month to kind of help us keep building these things and doing these things.
All the donation goes right back into the show.
Goes right back
to you guys.
Also, I want to shout out our title sponsor, as you can see on the cover card here on YouTube, Alumni Hall FSU. I know a lot of you guys had come up and told us that you had went and used our promo code SPEAR to save 10% on your order. So that also helps us as well. So we appreciate that too. We dropped a couple dimes in there ourselves. But yeah, man. So I just grateful for you guys. Grateful for tonight. Grateful for you, Michael, that we got to experience this together, man. This was awesome.
Thanks for coming.
I would have been, buddy, if I had missed this one, I don't even know what to say. So we're just going to leave it at that. But thanks, guys. We will catch you guys on the next one. As always,
go Noles.
Go freaking Noles, baby. 31-17 Florida State over Alabama.